we're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. In one accord. Something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. Let's stand tonight. We're together again. We stand tonight. Just praising the Lord, yes, Lord, we're together again in one accord. Well, something good is about to happen, something good is in store, we're together again, just praising the Lord, oh, we're together again. Just praising the Lord, we're together again in one accord. Oh, something good is about to happen, something good is in store, we're together again. Victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get me behind. Victory today is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Joy is mine. My boat of life sails on. troubled sea. Ever there's a breeze in the sail. Oh, but I have a friend who watches over me.
People we are. Amen. No matter what the weather is, inside or outside, or whatever the storms in your life, if we're trusting in Him, we know it's all going to be okay. He's got it all under control. Amen. Just a reminder again, I'd mentioned it Sunday night, but I'm going to keep reminding you for a while. Please watch your children closely after church. We had several different children that almost got backed into and things on Sunday morning. So I want to continue to just remind you to keep an eye on the children. And then also, we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this evening. My wife's sister Rebecca has an unspoken prayer request she'd like the church to remember. And then I want you to please continue to remember my dad, Brother Jerry, in prayer for a complete recovery. And Sister Mary Beth requested prayer for her grandson, Abraham Shavari. He has a double ear infection, and the antibiotics don't seem to be helping. And Brother Daryl requested prayer for his son-in-law's grandpa. His name is Tom Scantlin, who had a stroke tonight, so we want to remember that. And Brother Stephen had requested prayer for Brother Don Hoffman's wife, Brother Don is a pastor there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they just found out that his wife, Sister Mary, has breast cancer and that it's already starting to spread. So we want to lift her up in prayer as well this evening. Sister Courtney had texted us and said to please remember the Vaughn family in prayer, and specifically James Vaughn Sr., who's Brother Chad's grandpa. They say he'll be passing away shortly, and he has recently rededicated his life to Jesus Christ. He said it was like being reunited with the love of his life. So praise the Lord for that and for the Lord moving on the scene there for him spiritually. And we know the Lord's able to heal him as well physically, if that would be his will. But also Sister Christy and Sister Julie's grandma, Betty, has been turned over to hospice care. So I want to remember that situation in prayer. For those of you that didn't know, Brother Russell Jones passed away Monday around 7 a.m., so I want to remember his family in prayer at this time. There's no announcements or anything so far as a memorial or anything like that, but please keep them in prayer. And how many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight? Just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, just hearing the request tonight reminds us to humble ourselves before you, Lord. Because, Lord, who are we but mere men, mere mortals, Lord? Flesh and blood, Lord, and our bodies break down, and many things happen to us, Lord, but you are greater than all of that, Lord. Lord, it's been on my heart so much this week. Father, I want to see you more. I want to know you better, Lord. Lord, I want to love you better than I do. Lord, we see these things, and Lord, we understand that there's going to always be requests and different things happening as we travel through this life. We're going to have different trials, but Father, we want to see more victory in our lives as well. Lord, and we understand that you are that source. You are the victory, Lord. But it's Jesus that's the center of all of our joy. Lord, so often we forget that. We forget that you're the source, Lord. And we begin to try to think that we can have faith by sheer faith muscles, Lord. But Lord, I pray tonight that we could just forget all of that and just, Lord, just love you. And just appeal to you as our great husband, the great I am, the way maker. Lord, and to tell you that we love you and that we just want to fall into your arms, Lord. And we want to tell you that we don't know how to deal with these situations. Sister Rebecca's unspoken request. And Lord, that they're the ones that have lost their loved one, Father. And now up in Minnesota, Sister Hoffman with cancer, Lord. There's so many things, so many other requests were mentioned. Father, we are powerless, Lord. And we can't do anything about them, but Father, we can fall into your arms and just say, Jesus, our lovely one, won't you come and move on each heart and move in each situation and bring, Lord, about a manifestation of the healing that you've already paid for, and that's what we're asking for. So Father, come, move in our midst. Touch each heart tonight. May each one just reach out and grab a hold of you as you come by, as your spirit just moves among the people, Lord, for we invite you now to be amongst us. And Lord, speak to each one. Let just a little more reality strike their heart. Let a little more flame begin to burn, just a little brighter and a little brighter, Lord. And just work a passion, Lord, in each heart for more and more of you, Lord. That would just be completely unquenchable, Father. So, Lord, we love you now. Bless this service and be with the pastor now. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
So we have a special Sister Jennifer and Savannah Soderquist.
Thank you. your sweet aroma fill my life. Rows of Sharon show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. You're the fairest of 10,000. Of your light, of your light, and I pray day star shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. I pray, Jesus, shine down on me.
Appreciate that. Crystal, you ready? We were going to sing this Sunday, but we're not going to be out of town on Sunday. So Brother Doug actually had requested this song a while back. So good to see you here tonight. And glad it worked out. The Lord let us to sing it. So we can. It's been about a year ago, I think, he requested to sing it. And I don't think he's got it yet. So.
Full of compassion, nothing wrong with it.
first came into this place, I felt His presence. Oh, and I knew it was a place where love abides. For this is a temple to hold. God provided.
sing it again together. You feel that presence of the Lord tonight.
We are saved.
Oh, yes.
On holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around.
Oh, we believe tonight, Father.
So let us praise.
We praise you, Lord.
King Jesus.
One more time together. Tonight. Amen. God bless you. Turn, if you would, to St. John's Gospel. I'd like to say tonight, in regards to that song, we're not standing on holy ground because of the gentleman that poured the concrete or because of the carpenters that put it together. It's not holy ground because you or I are standing on it, but it's holy ground because that Jesus Christ, His presence is welcome here. Amen. Amen. The same thing, we could say it this way, we're standing in holy ground too. Amen. Because when He comes and makes His abode, this flesh that used to be corrupt and filthy, oh, it'll never get the Holy Ghost, the flesh part, but inside of that is holy ground because He's dwelling there. I like what Brother Trevor brought out a while back about Mount Sinai and the different places, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple in Jerusalem, things. It's not that those geographic sites are holy anymore unless He's still there, but it was holy. The mountain wasn't holy because it was a mountain. The mountain wasn't even holy just because God created it. The mountain was holy because that was the place where God made Himself known to the people. So any place that God makes Himself known to the people, we consider it a holy place. Amen. St. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And I'd like to say Brother Ben did a wonderful job. The only thing he forgot to do was take up the offering, which wasn't very business-minded, but I do believe it was spirit-minded because the way the presence of the Lord was moving there, I'm glad he didn't stop and take up an offering. And so we can maybe catch that on another service or maybe the deacons at the back door or something as you leave. We'll get them the offering plates later or something. But, you know, there's more important things than money that go on here at the church. So St. John chapter 15 and verse 4. I'd also like to say before I forget, I thought that Brother Ben was the special singer of the family, but we found out we've been deceived this whole time. Sister Crystal did a wonderful job on that special. Amen. I certainly enjoyed that. Sister Jennifer and Sister Savannah as well. I had requested that, and I thought, my, that would go so good along with this Yield series to have them sing that. And then Sister Crystal got up and sang a song. I'm glad they didn't wait till Wednesday because it goes better with this series anyhow. I thought the song did. So St. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Oh, I hope we never forget that. Amen. As a church, as individuals, I hope we never forget that. Without me, he says, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this isn't name it and claim it, because it's not just for anybody. But he says, if ye abide in me, and if my words abide in you. So if his words abide in you, then anything you ask, what is it? His words. If you're in that channel of him, of the Holy Spirit, whatever you ask, it's his words. And whatever it is said, he said, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Let's just bow our heads together this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come together and worship you. Thank you for the songs of worship that we've heard, for every musician, every singer. Lord, for Lord, this presence of the Lord that we feel here tonight with us. Lord, may it just abide with us, not only through the continuation of the service, but the continuation of the week and the month and the year and the rest of our life. Lord, may we just abide in your presence, Lord, we pray. Lord, I recognize tonight that there are many needs represented, maybe many questions on people's hearts, and Lord, maybe Satan has tried to hinder him from being here tonight, but Lord, we made it anyhow. And Lord, I just ask that you would be with each one. Lord, may the Holy Spirit come down and anoint in such a way, Lord, not that we would glory in a man, but that we would glory in the Jesus that would anoint a man, Father, and that we could hear from, Lord, not just from Nathan Bryant, Lord, but we could hear from you this evening the answers to our questions and comfort to our sorrows, Lord. Only you can do that. May you come on the scene tonight, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We've been looking at this thought for a few weeks on yield, and I actually had the majority of this sermon put together several weeks ago when Brother Morse was coming to preach for us. I thought, you know, where he has, well, we believe he's healed of it, but where he had problems with his back. I thought, well, if he has any issues getting up here or something, or if he gets here and he's having a little flare-up with his back, I better have a backup plan. And so I went ahead and studied for the Wednesday night service, and then I thought, well, the next week I won't have anything so much to study on for Wednesday. And so I kind of still was listening to tapes and reading scriptures and things, and something would stand out to me. I'd think, oh, that would go along good with that. And so I'd move things around a little bit and put that in. And then last week we had weather issues that kept us out of church. And so I thought, well, this week, you know, we'll go along and have something prepared. And then all this week, even down to today, I was still listening to things and reading things. I thought, my, that would go in just perfect. So kind of moved some things around a little bit, and just believing that we have the mind of the Lord tonight by his grace. And I want to look at this word again on yield. We looked at it a while back. It has several different meanings, but the meaning we want to look at tonight is to give forth or produce by natural process or in return for cultivation. So in regards to, Brother Bram talks about how the trees would yield their fruit, and the Bible, Jesus speaking there, talks about how that by their fruits you should know somebody. That's not by if Brother Lee or some of these brothers can raise better tomato plants than me, but it's the fruits of the Spirit that would go forth out of them. By their fruits you could know what the Spirit was down on the inside of a person. Now, Brother Branham told us that the Christian Science and different ones, they could impersonate those fruits, and there's many Christians so-called that would impersonate those fruits, but as time goes on, and you get to know somebody longer and pressures come and things like that, you begin to find what's really down on the inside of somebody by the fruits that they're displaying. And that still doesn't make us the judge as far as that regard here in the earthly manner. We don't know what their end will be, because what their fruit is now could change years down in the future, just as yours or mine did. But our fruits, if you look back maybe 20 or 30 years ago, whatever it had been, might have been very different than what it is tonight. But we find that Brother Branham tells us in the Church Age book, and we'll look at it in several different ways and several different quotes and things that he phrases it. He said, but if that real true vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll write another book of Acts behind it. I had a brother tell me, he said, well, some of that I don't want to see repeat as far as the persecutions and the jailings and things like that. And we we do recognize that. I don't know about you, I don't want to go to jail. But if it comes down to it where the laws are changed and it's either stand for the word and go to jail or compromise with the word and stay out, I'll just have to say, well, I guess send me to jail. But I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm hoping that the bride bypasses a lot of that and gets out of here before those persecutions come. But I believe what Brother Branham's referring to when he refers to a book of Acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit working in the church, that the church would act in this age the same that it did way back there in other ages. So that's what we look for. And Brother Branham, as Brother Trevor has been teaching on the Church Age series, and he pointed this quote out to us. I read it a few weeks ago, and I want to read it again. He's talking about the not the candles, but the wicks, how that the wick on the lampstand would go down into and would be part of this vessel where the oil was. And he said that all of those were drawing from the same source. He says he refers that and types it to the messenger, but as Gloriana had pointed out to him, it's not only for the messenger. Brother Branham says, not only can we speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawing from the same source. All drawing from the same source. That doesn't mean that it's all this drawing from the same church or all drawing from the same personality, but we're all drawing from the same source, and that source is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit in our life is the source that we're all drawing from. That's the purpose of this series. I hope it's the purpose of us gathering here tonight, is that we could yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him use us in whatever capacity He would use us in. You say, oh, that's hard, Brother Nathan. The Lord's trying to get me to do that, but there's so many things. It's not popular. I just don't think I'm able. All these questions and things. Say, go back and read your Bible. There were men of old that had the same questions and the same problems that we face today. Moses looked at his inability. Different ones looked at their families that they had come from or the tribes that they came from and thought that they were unable and inadequate. And in their self, they were absolutely right, Brother Lee. In themselves, they were just as inadequate and unable as I am standing here tonight. But with Jesus Christ to come on the scene, and Him to take control, He can take a man, and as Brother Branham has told us many times, that He can take one and make the majority out of it. Nathaniel had asked me today to go back. He said he wanted to find where Brother Arnie had preached about Shamgar. And so I pulled it up for him the watch night a couple years ago, how that Brother Arnie was telling us how he just kept on swinging and stepping up on another Philistine. And when he started off, Brother Jimmy, the odds looked very bad between Shamgar and all the rest of those men. But by the time it was all said and done, he was standing on top of this heap of Philistines, and he was the only one left standing, because one with God is the majority. You might be outnumbered in your family. You might be outnumbered at your job. You might be outnumbered with your fellow man out here, your associates on the street. You might be outnumbered in some of the church circles that you used to run around. They may think you're crazy now, but you and God is the majority, no matter what you're facing. Church Age book again. Brother Branham said, Christ indeed is the life of the church. She has no other life without Him. She is simply a religious society, a club, a meaningless gathering of people. I don't know about you. I don't want to ever get to the place. Now, you can look around. You can see some churches just as dead as a doorknob. There's no life. There's no rejoicing. There's no signs. There's no wonders. There's no spiritual being done. Maybe you've got family members that sit in churches like that. And if somebody said amen, they'd break their neck trying to look around and see who it was that said amen or hallelujah. Or maybe they don't believe in all kinds of different things. And, you know, like Brother Ram said, when the Spirit would begin to move, they would moan and groan like the old dead trees. But a church like that is simply a religious society, a club, and a meaningless gathering of people. Now, you can, some of you that love video games, you can have a little group that gets together and plays video games in your home or online or whatever it be, and you can have some fellowship around those things, but when it comes down to it, it's a meaningless gathering of people. It has no eternal value. Not saying that you can't do those things, but those of you that love sports, hey, as a young man, I used to love to get out there and dribble a ball around until my knee got so bad that I'd twisted every time I tried. But when it came down to it, it was fun, it was exercise, it was a nice enjoyment with some brothers to get together. But as far as the eternal value of it, it was a meaningless gathering of people. Every board meeting you've ever sat at your work, unless your work is doing something for the kingdom of God, when it came right down to it, it might have put more money in your bank, it might have put more money in the CEO's of the company's bank, but as far as the eternal value of it, it was a meaningless gathering of people. Now, people can get together in societies and churches and in denominations, and they can have stitch and sews, and they can sell chicken and things to and wash cars to raise money to build a bigger steeple or to pay the pastor a little bit better, or they can go down and feed the homeless, and that's nice, and it's kind, and it's good to humanity. But as far as the eternal value, it's just a meaningless gathering of people, like any club out here that you could join or society. Not saying that those things are wrong or that you can't never do those things. I'm talking about eternal value tonight. And so a church that isn't doing something for the kingdom of God, a church that has no life in it, that's producing signs and wonders, he said it is dead without the life of Christ in it. Simply a religious society. A club, a meaningless gathering of people. You say, oh my, Brother Nathan, you're sure picking on everybody else. All right, I'll pick on me for a little bit. You know, sometimes brothers will come over to the house and I'll share some. Brother Hoover does it too, so I don't feel left out tonight. But, you know, sometimes we'll share a little funny video that we saw on YouTube of somebody doing an impersonation of somebody or something like that. It's funny and it's fellowship and there's nothing wrong with it, but it has no eternal value. But you've got to have some kind of a hobby or relaxation. You know, most of you know by now, I've spent a lot of time and money and things restoring that Jeep, and I like to get out and drive it and wash it and things like that. But if I'm spending more time than I am in the Word, or more time in that than I am in prayer, it's meaningless and it's dead, and it'll rust someday, and I won't be able to find a fender of it. Like Brother Branham said about his Model T, he said, oh, used to when I was a sinner boy, I wouldn't go to church on Sunday. Oh, is that I guess qualifies as part of something that a sinner does? That's what he said. Said, when I was a sinner boy, I wouldn't go to church on Sunday. I'd stay home all day and I'd wax my car. He said, I had a little Model T Ford there. And he said, I'd just wax it and wash it. And he said, I couldn't find one fender of it today if I had to. Hey man, that's okay. It's all right to appreciate your car, whether it's a Model T or a Porsche or whatever it is. It's okay to appreciate it as long as it doesn't become a god to you. But when it comes right down to eternal value, it's meaningless. Amen. As my wife says all the time, it's all going to burn. They're all going to burn. All the cars, all of it's going to burn. I just hope that it burns after I'm gone. Is that? He says as a corpse, bejeweled and dressed, is still a corpse, so the church, no matter what her programs and her gracious efforts might achieve, without Christ, she is a corpse also. I want to say tonight, if you're here and you're sitting and maybe you've got the name of message, maybe you've got the name of Christian packed on you, maybe you've got the name of some family that would fellowship with Brother Branham when he was still here, whatever it is, that's wonderful. I have nothing negative to say about that. But if that's all you have tonight, you're still just a corpse without him. Amen. You may come here every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Sunday night and every special meeting, and I appreciate your attendance, but the devil attends more regularly than you do because he doesn't get sick and he doesn't go on vacation. Now, I've heard some pastors that, you know, they don't want the church to get sick or go on vacation unless they're sick or go on vacation, but that's legalism. I didn't say you can't get sick or you can't go on vacation and miss a service, but I said the devil doesn't. He's here more than you are. He's here more than I am. That doesn't make him saved. As I heard one man say, if going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car or standing in a McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger, it doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus Christ coming and living inside of you is what makes you a Christian. Now, we believe if you're a Christian, that life on the inside of you, it'll make you go to church. That's what the prophet of God said. He said, it'll make you go to church. He said, you can't chain a Christian away from church. He said, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can't wait for the doors to be open. Amen. But without him, all the gathering, all the tithe paying, all the songs, all the singing, if he's not in it, it's a dead corpse. He says, but with him in her midst, with him motivating her, she becomes to the wonderment of all his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And this very hour, he is walking in the midst of the last age's golden candlestick. What he was as he walked in the first age, he is even now in the last age. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. that you can go back and pick up any tape or any book or any material of Brother Branham's, whether it's a prayer card letter or a prayer card or a prayer cloth letter, I mean rather, or a prayer card or his letterhead or whatever it would be, and you will find consistently that this was the theme of Brother Branham's message. The theme that his entire message rested on was Jesus Christ, the same today as he was yesterday, and the same that he will be forever. He's not a God. He said, I am God back in the Old Testament. I am God and I change not. But yet we got down to this last age and we think he changes all kinds of things that he did back there the first age. But that's contrary to what the prophet taught us. He said what he was back then in the first age, he has to be in this last age. If he's not, then he lied in his word when he said he'd be the same. Now you can try to make a liar out of him if you want to, but I'm certainly not going to. Queen of Sheba, 1961. He says, you can take an orange tree and put a grapefruit in it. It'll live off the life of that tree, but it'll bear grapefruit. Put a lemon in there, it'll bear a lemon. Not an orange, yet it's living off of orange life. See, any citrus fruit. Now listen, he's talking about citrus fruit. Now he changes gears quickly and types it to the church. He said, any church professing to be Christian thrives off of the glory and praises of Christ, but it can't bear fruit. It can't bear fruit. Seed cannot come through non-seed. Amen. You can't take an orange and put it, or a lemon and put it over here in an orange tree. Now it's living off of the life of the citrus fruit, but that lemon branch will never bear an orange because it's a lemon branch. But if that tree ever puts forth another limb, it'll be an orange limb if it's an orange life down on the inside of it. Now that's how many churches are. Even it comes right down into the message sometimes. Brother Bam talked about how the rain would fall upon the just and the unjust. It doesn't have to be the whole church. Sometimes, you know, any church just about, there's a little bit of a mixed multitude, and the rain can come and fall. The rain, I'm not talking about physical rain out here that we've had so much of. We've got flood warnings and everything else. I'm talking about the spiritual rain, the latter rain that the Bible talked of. The rain can fall right there on the just and the unjust. Brother Bram said he saw that man get up and speak in tongues and interpret, and it was just exactly right to the T. And he said he went and talked to the man afterwards. He said, I caught his spirit, and if there ever was a real Christian, that man was a real Christian. I would say he would know about it with the gift of discernment in his life. Then the other man that was involved in the exact same tongues and interpretation going forth, he said he went over in Mishawaka there and began to talk to him, and he said, if I ever talked to a devil, that was one of them. He said he was married to a woman and he had children with another woman with different color hair. He said, just a devil in shoe leather. But yet the rain falling, it stumbled him for a while. He didn't understand, so he pulled back from the Pentecostal people for a while because he couldn't understand how this one could be anointed and a true servant of God and this one be anointed and be a false teacher. He couldn't understand it, so he steps back away from it. And finally, the Holy Spirit begins to blow the pages of the scripture over to Hebrews there. And he said he saw that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And he said he looked out there by vision and saw a great bunch of wheat. And he said, my, the rains would come and the wheat, it had been a drought, and the wheat would put its little head down and pant for water. And he said the rains would come and all of a sudden it would stand up and lift his head and rejoice. And he said, but growing right up there with the wheat was tares or weeds. And he said, when the rains was dry and gone, he said they'd bow their little heads and pant for water just like the wheat. But when the rain began to fall, they would lift up their hands and praise God just the same. Don't you think that doesn't go on in churches? Amen. That the blessings of God, hey, everybody loves the blessings of God. Amen. Even ranked sinners, they love the blessings of God. If God will bless them with a bonus check or he'll bless them with good health, everybody loves the blessings of God. It's the commandments of God that most people have a problem with. Amen. Oh, but they lift up their hands when the blessings begin to fall, and they can thrive off of that, the glory and the praises of Christ. That, oh my, he healed my grandmother, and my, they raise their hands, or they feel an atmosphere in a church service, and they'll raise their hands and bask in that presence, but they'll never commit to it. They love to feel his presence. They love to raise their hands and, oh my, wasn't that a good service? But they'll never come to an altar and die out to their old self that they like to be when they leave the church. They love to come in and be associated with it. They love to come in and feel it rain on them, but they won't really die out to the things that's holding them back. Why? Because they're a lemon instead of an orange. and they're just thriving off the citrus life, but they'll never really be a true orange unless they let God come and remold them and remake them. Oh my, he says it won't bear the life of Christ until Christ puts forth that branch himself. Then it'll write another book of Acts behind it. That's right, because it is the acts of the Holy Spirit in the church. Again, investments, 1963. We see the way the Holy Spirit acted in that first church, that church of Pentecost. So however it acted back then at Pentecost, that's the way it'll act now. My, if you haven't read the book of Acts lately, I would encourage you to go back and read it and see how it acted back there in the book of Acts. Amen. See how it acted. See how it moved upon individuals. See how it moved on the messenger of the age. See how it moved on the apostles. See how it moved on the deacons, and how it moved on the ministers, and how it moved on the laity, and how it even moved on little ladies that were just sewing dresses for people and making curtains and tents and things. And it was moving down to the humblest housewife or widow, or moving down on the children all the way up to the messenger. The Holy Spirit was moving, and it made them act different than they used to act, and it made them live different than they used to live. And they would go into a town, and the people would look around and say, these are the men that turned the world upside down. Well, it was because it was upside down to begin with. They was just trying to turn it back right again. Their life produced something that people could recognize something different in them, and they went about doing good and not just helping the poor. We believe in helping the poor. I believe in that. But hey, the Salvation Army and different ones can help the poor, but they can't put forth a seed in something that's non-seed. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there can't be somebody that belongs to the Salvation Army or helps the Salvation Army that can't be seed, but I'm talking about an organization will never put forth a seed. It can't be seed and non-seed. If they're seed, it's because they got the seed from somewhere else. Amen. Something in their life. They came out of the upper room staggering like drunk men, speaking in tongues, interpreting, testifying, giving their lives for the gospel. And we get ashamed a little bit, you know, if we have to bow our head in public and pray or talk to somebody at work about the hope of glory inside of us. What a difference. But if you get the same life, it won't be a difference. Won't be any difference. It'll act exactly the same way that it did back then. God has a provided lamb, 1964. If the church that come off that vine was a Pentecostal church with all the gifts, how many? All the gifts. If that ever really puts out another branch, they'll write another book of Acts behind it. And that's what they had in the days of the apostles and the apostolic age. Never ended. Amen. This is in 1964. This is after the seals. The apostolic age never ended. Now, I can show you where he said it never ended. Can somebody find me a quote where he said after 1964 here where he said it ended? My, it's silent everywhere. In the congregation, those that are listening that out on the internet, when they go back and hear it later, it's silent because he never said it. Amen. He never took it back. The apostolic age has never ended. So if we're going to be a real church of Jesus Christ, we'll still act like the apostles did back then. We'll still handle situations in church, not by some man-made legalism that somebody dragged over in from Pentecost or from their Methodist or Baptist church. We'll handle situations just like they did in the book of Acts. They'd let the Holy Spirit lead them and guide them. Amen. I want to say that it wasn't just Paul because he was upset at Ananias and Sapphira, or because, you know, he didn't like the doctrine that they taught, or he didn't like the way they treated his grandma or his children or whatever. Well, he didn't have children. He wasn't married. But the way they treated his nephew or somebody, that wasn't why he said what he did to Ananias and Sapphira, but it was because the Holy Spirit led him to do it. A lot of times we get too much of this in the way, too much of our flesh. And bless God, we're going to do something because it affects us. But have you spent some time in prayer and asked him how to handle the situation? Have you asked him how to treat that person? Well, they did this to me, so I'm going to do this back. Oh, that's really a type of Christ, isn't it? He didn't say, bless God, K. Ephesus, you just wait till I can put nails through your hands and your feet. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They were blinded. Maybe some of those that's persecuting you is blinded too, just to see how you'll react to it. Church age book. Brother Bram says it'll be the same kind of a branch that was brought forth at Pentecost. It'll speak in tongues, prophesy, and have the same power and signs of the resurrected Jesus Christ in it. Why? because it's thriving on the natural resources of the vine itself. You see, it wasn't grafted into the vine. It was born into the vine. Oh, my, I don't want to just get grafted in because, you know, you can't get grandfathered in this thing. Brother Bram said, I believe it was David Duplessis said, God don't have no grandchildren. God don't have no grandchildren. I don't care how, you know, it's, I keep saying I don't care, but you know what I mean by that. It doesn't matter how righteous your grandfather or your grandmother or your parents or whoever it was is. That doesn't matter. It's an individual affair in this age. It always is. Brother Bram said God deals with Israel as a church, as a group, as a nation. But he said for the Gentiles, he deals with us as an individual. And if you're going to make it in this age, no matter how righteous your spouse or your pastor or your deacon or your grandpa or your neighbor, if you don't have that personal relationship with him, not one time to come down to an altar and say, Lord, forgive me, and shake the pastor's hand, but an abiding daily presence that'll lead you when your flesh says, I don't feel like treating that person nice. I don't feel like responding nice. I don't feel like acting the way that Christ would act. Something down on the inside of you rises up and harnesses the nature of the flesh and those five senses and the senses of the spirit that wants you to think bad about somebody or think bad about yourself and says that's an unscriptural voice speaking to you. And something down on the inside holds you when you can't hold yourself. I'm so thankful I have that tonight. There's no way I would be a pastor in New Albany, Indiana tonight if there wasn't something down on the inside that was holding me. Amen. I'd be a crazy person if it wasn't. Amen. Why would I want to go through some of this if it wasn't something down on the inside? There's many of you. You wouldn't be sitting here tonight if the Holy Spirit hadn't led you. Why would you go through all the grief that you get and the things that said about you? Something down on the inside that's witnessing to you. There's truth there. There's life there. There's something going on. My family's growing. My family's getting closer to God. I see signs and wonders. I see healings and I feel the move of God there and God has called me to be there. Oh, if you don't feel that way tonight, don't just sit on the pew because somebody convinced you to. Amen. I've been accused of it, but you bring me one person and anybody that listens in online, bring me one person that I've ever asked or begged to come or stay. Show me one person. I only know of one person that I've ever really truly invited to come here, and that's my sister sitting out there because I knew she wasn't going anywhere to church. And I said, I don't want you to feel obligated because I'm your brother. I just want you to know you're welcome. And I thank God that she did. Amen. I guess that's the closest I ever came to proselyting somebody. You can't proselyte somebody that doesn't have a home church. They're free game. Amen. So if you don't have a home church and you're listening in, some people don't want a home church. They want to bounce from pillar to post because it's comfortable and they don't have anything. They don't have any headship and they don't have any accountability and they can kind of just slip in and slip out and they don't have to pay tithes to nobody. Hey, you don't have to go to church at Church of the Open Door, but whether you're here tonight or listening in, if you don't have a home church, I would encourage you to do what the prophet said and get you a home church somewhere. Well, praise the Lord for whoever that was for. The Patmos Vision, 1960. There's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ, for we are completely yielded to his right hand. Somebody said, say, holy roller, holy roller. That don't bother him a bit. Now, some of us, if we'll be honest, that still bothers us a bit. Somebody say, holy roller, that don't bother him a bit. You're a religious fanatic. They don't even hear it. They're completely yielded. Doesn't matter what somebody calls you. You know, we've got people that come, and I've encouraged you not to, but some of you go right ahead and do it anyhow. Some of you are here. Some of you aren't here. Some of you might go back and listen later. But we've got, you know, there's so much controversy going on around the message. And I try to deal with the spirits here as best as I know how. But I don't deal with individuals and call individuals names and individual churches and things like that. I deal with the spirit because I feel like if there's a spirit that's coming up and attacking the bride, if it's here or if it's in Trinidad or wherever it's at, then it's applicable somewhere because spirits don't die and men don't die. So those things are anywhere. So we can deal with spirits without having to get so personal that we call names and things like that. But some of you, that's not enough for you. And your curiosity gets so sparked that you got to go stream what Brother So-and-so said over here. in this state and what brother so-and-so said over here in this city and what brother so-and-so said over here in this country, because you got to stay so tuned into the pulse of the message. And what does it do? Then you come to me all upset and your blood pressure all high and all worried and all stressed out. Did you hear what brother so-and-so said? And I always say, any of you that's come to me, 9 times out of 10, unless somebody else already told me, I say, no, I haven't heard, because I don't go on there because I don't like my blood pressure getting raised. And then somebody else will come and say, well, did you hear what brother so-and-so said about them back? And my, it's just a ping pong match back and forth all over the country. And this brother up here in this country and that brother down there in that country. And this one over here and that one and opinions. And you sit and you listen to all of that and you get so worked up and so stressed out about it that, you know, you lose the joy of your salvation. And then you come to me all stressed out and want me to listen to it. And then I get all worked up and I have to vent to Brother Trevor and he gets tired of hearing to it. Hearing it.
Let's just end that.
God didn't call me to straighten out everybody else. What does it care what anybody else says? That's not your home church. You're not paying tithes there. Don't stay so involved in all that stuff that you get stressed out and your blood pressure goes through the roof and you're about to pull your hair out. What does it matter? Oh, but Brother Nathan, I feel like Brother so-and-so's deceiving somebody. And oh, Brother Nathan, I feel, well, I don't agree with that brother, but you know, this other brother over here, he's getting too personal and he's calling names and he's hurting feelings and he's too harsh and I don't agree with that. And have you heard him say that? And you know, and what does it cause? Contention and strife and confusion. And that's the reason why I don't preach those things here. I try to keep taking you back to the Word to the best of my ability and keep as much of Nathan Bryan out as I can. And there's been times that I've got real close and almost frustrated enough to do it. And that's how this series got started. I was sitting in New Albany Public Library and everything I could look at was that garbage. You say you shouldn't say garbage. Hey, Solomon said anybody that sows discord, God hates the thing. Amen. God doesn't necessarily hate the person. He loves the person, but he hates sowers of discord. And all I could look at was all that stuff. And I thought, Lord, how can I even go and preach tonight when all I can see to study is this? And a voice spoke not audibly to my ear, but down on the inside of my soul said, yield. Just yield. And then I could look and see other things. Amen. Don't get so tangled up. And he said, she said, they believe, they think, have you heard? Oh my goodness. And everybody's in such an uproar that you spend so much time in the day on that and listening to everybody else's services around the world that you can't take up your Bible and read it, or you can't listen to a tape and hear a real voice of God that is going to speak to us and bring us balance. We're so busy with everything else and straightening everybody else out and how wrong everybody else is. Who cares? Let the Lord straighten all that out. He didn't call me to do it. He didn't call you to do it. Let the Lord straighten it out and you get right with Him. And let's keep an atmosphere here where God can do something for us and make sure that Church of the Open Door is straightened out. Amen. I can hear some of you already. Oh, I can't wait to recommend this service to Brother So-and-so or Sister So-and-so. Go right ahead. Maybe it'll do them good. But if you do it with a selfish motive, then you're wrong. Maybe your selfish motive is you're just tired of hearing them bellyache about it. Amen. Well, I hope the Lord's doing something for you tonight. Somebody say, holy roller, holy roller. You know, all kinds of things have been said at our church. Some of you sitting here tonight have family members that have said terrible things about our church. That doesn't make me love them any less. That doesn't make me hate them. Sometimes it makes me feel sorry for them, and maybe that's selfish. Maybe that makes me stuck up or something. But sometimes I feel sorry for people that feel that way, not because it's us. I'd hate to feel that way about anybody that claims to believe the message or that stands for the Word of God. But you know what? We got, as I said way back when we was at the storefront, and there was about 90 or 100 of us, I told you back then, if you're going to come to this church, you better get some thick skin. Amen. And it still holds true tonight just as much as it ever did. Amen, because the people will say things about you and they'll say things about me and say things about this church. That's all right. Let them talk. I've seen a lot of them say those. I've seen some of them say, I'll never step foot in that church. And then I've seen them do it. Not because I made them. Not because I tricked them or outsmarted them. But because the Holy Spirit sometimes makes us bite our words, eat our words. Just to humble us down a little bit. You say, bless God, I'll never do this, I'll never do that, I'll never dance, I'll never speak in tongues, I'll never do a Jericho march. You better be careful. Amen. If you really don't want to do it, you best just keep your mouth shut, because he might make you do it. Somebody say, holy roller. Holy roller, that don't bother them a bit. You're a righteous, a religious fanatic. They don't even hear it. They're completely yielded and drawing their life from his right arm of power, reflecting his life in meekness and kindness and gentleness and patience, signs and wonders and miracles. Let the world call it witchcraft, whatever they want to. Makes us no difference, because we know we're yielded in his right hand. Isn't that wonderful? He says, mine. If you really know that you're in his right hand, what do you care what anybody says about you? If you know that you're in his will, if you know that it's his will for you to attend this church, what do you care what anybody says about it? Now, if you don't know, then that's a different story. You need to get to a spot where you know that it's his will. But if you know that it's, if I know it's his will to do something, as much as I love my mommy and daddy that I think are listening in tonight, as much as I appreciate their advice and their encouragement, if I know, as much as I love Brother Layton sitting here on the platform, or Brother Hoover, or Brother Trevor, as much as I love them and appreciate their encouragement, or Brother Arnie, and as much as I appreciate their wisdom and guidance and things, if they were to tell me something and the Holy Spirit was leading me to do something else, I would have to, no matter how much I loved or appreciated or respected, I would have to stay with what he told me, or I'd be a hypocrite. Amen. So what do we care what anybody says? What matters is to make sure you're yielded and in the channel that he wants you to be in. Oh my. Spoken word is the original seed, 1962. Brother Bram says the seed of Christ must, M-U-S-T, must come through his body. Not through denomination, but through a born-again seed of the word must come through. Now remember, what is Christ's seed? How does my seed come? Through the body. How does the apple tree seed come? Through the body. Seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. How's the seed going to come? Through the body. He said it must, M-U-S-T, come through the body. Amen. Now, he's not talking about an address. He's not talking about a doctrine. He's talking about the church of the firstborn. Amen. You can't join it. You can't go there and sit under it. You can't stream the service from afar. It's a church of a born-again body of Jesus Christ. Whether it's here or in another local church or around the world, it's a body that's a body you can't join it. You're born into it. He says, that right? The congregation says, amen. He said, the Bible church this birth produces, that's the new birth himself in body. His church is his word, so that people can see the confirmation of Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, you believe it? Amen. So how is he going to operate in this age? He's going to operate through his church. Hey man, don't get me wrong. I know there's some brothers that get out on a limb on this and they take it too far, and they don't believe that we'll ever see a physical body of Jesus in eternity. I believe I'll see his physical body, that I'll be able to go up and I'll be able to lay at his feet and worship him. I believe he'll be able to put his arms around me and say, child, I love you. I'm looking for a physical body in that manner. But there, we will never see a physical body here until the coming of the Lord. Not here on this earth. But where is the physical body right now? On the earth. It's his church. It's his bride. He said he's in bride form, Brother Branham said. Amen. He's in bride form. He still has a physical representation on the earth, even though his physical body, as far as the man Jesus, is not here on the earth. Yet he has a physical representation because he's here in bride form. If you go back and you listen to the Patmos vision like I've been doing to over and over and over for the last couple of weeks and reading it, and just hang tight if you don't have time to. We'll be playing it here at church in a few weeks. But in the Patmos vision there, he breaks it down and explains it so wonderfully, how that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and he brings it around and types it with God above us, Father, the God up there, Spirit in the heavens, God with us, Jesus, the Son, the body, God above us, God with us. He said, now the Holy Spirit, God in us. Amen. The same life, God above us, God with us, God in us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, doesn't make him three persons. It's three attributes of the same God manifesting himself in a different way. Jehovah of the Old Testament, back there, a spirit that could not be seen, came down and condescended himself into a flesh body, the Son, and that flesh body gave his life to redeem back many other sons, and divided himself on the day of Pentecost and came as Holy Ghost to live in his bride. Amen. And he has a physical representation here on the earth today. And it's not limited to Brother Branham or any other, any minister or prophet or whatever it would be. It's a many-membered body. That's what the scripture teaches us. God and his people, 1950, men are just men, but it's God's agency. People look at this picture over here and they say, well, he was just a man. Amen. So am I. So are you, or a woman, whichever you are. And only two choices. I know they try to add multiple choice today, but you only had one choice, one of two choices, and you was born that way. Amen. Amen. God didn't give me a multiple choice back there in eternity and say, which gender would you like to be? I just came out of the womb that way. And I was a man, and I had a man's spirit, and I act like a man. And once I got about 12 or 13, I started to talk like a man. My voice began to change. Men are just men, but it's God's agency. Moses was just a man. We can look at it that way. But he was God's agent, the physical representation of God's message for that day. And from him went many other physical representations, a Joshua and a Caleb and different ones down through, an Aaron and all of his children down through the priesthood. Physical representations of the Word of God made manifest for that day. The Word of God made flesh. Amen. Abraham was the Word of God made flesh for his day. Didn't make him God. He was a man, but it was the agency that God was using and working through. The angel of the Lord, 1951, again, he says, now God always works through man. Man is God's agency. Do you believe that? Amen. Again, Perseverant, 1964. God does nothing outside of man being his agent, his helper. Now, he goes on in these quotes and he says that, you know, God doesn't use mechanical devices and things. He always used men. I've heard some brothers take that to the extreme and say that, you know, well, we don't need tapes and things like that because God can't work through mechanical devices. And I say to them, and if they go back and listen to it, I'll say it to them where they can hear it loud and clear. If you really believe that, then take down your church website and stop sending out your DVDs and your CDs and your MP3s and stop streaming your services if God can't use mechanical devices. Because if he couldn't use it for the prophet, surely he can't use it for a poor, humble minister like myself or you. Amen. But God didn't raise up a tape recorder and send it to us and say, this is my messenger. But his voice was recorded on magnetic tape. Amen. God didn't raise up a pencil and send it and write Ephesians and Corinthians and things like that. He sent a man to do it, God's agency. Amen. Now, I don't throw away my Bible and say, well, that's just paper. That's not a man. It was God that wrote it through men. Men moved by the Holy Spirit. It's God that moved upon the prophet in this age to restore the word back. Amen. I still believe in listening to the tapes, but I still believe he uses men. Amen. He doesn't do nothing outside of man being his agent, God said. So how did you get into this? Did a tape recorder wobble itself up to you and say, just press the play button on me? You say, that's sacrilegious, Brother Nathan. No, I'm trying to make a point tonight. God doesn't use mechanical devices. But he may have used a person that said, oh, Brother Layton, I was in a meeting a while back, and I want you to hear a tape of this man. I believe he'd do you good. Now, that's not God using a mechanical device. That's God using a man. Some man had to make the tape. Some man had to duplicate the tape. Some man had to put the label on it. Some man sitting back there had to mix it for the brothers that was in other languages to hear the other interpretations and things into French or Swahili or whatever it be. There was a man involved in it. That didn't just happen magically. Amen. There was a man involved in it. How did you go? You trace it back and find out how you got into this. And there was a man or a woman, the body of Christ somewhere, involved in it somewhere along the way. Somebody witnessed to you, or somebody handed you a tape, or somebody preached a sermon, or somebody lived a life in front of you. God doesn't do anything except man being his agent, his helper. Perseverant, 1964. He was the Lord of the harvest. And he said, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that ye may send laborers into his harvest, making himself with man so bound together that he works only through the agency of man. He chose man to work for him. He could have chose the sun to preach the gospel. He could have chose the winds or the trees or the stars, but he chose man, veils himself inside, hides himself from the unbeliever, reveals himself to who he will. Amen. Now, just as those back there in those days, friends, There were people in these meetings that you and I would have longed to sit in, and we get glimpses of it from 20th Century Prophet, and we get glimpses of it from Deep Calleth to the Deep, and we see the discernment, and we see how he would stagger there under the anointing, and how who would wipe his face from being so tired from the anointing, and Brother Billy come and get his Bible and touch him on the back to let him know it's time to go, and they almost have to carry him off the platform. And we get glimpses of people standing up out of wheelchairs, and we get glimpses of people being healed and things like that. But we would have loved to have sat in those meetings. But let me tell you, there were multiplied hundreds of thousands of people that sat in those services, and some would look and see the working of God, and others would look and call it Beelzebub, just like they did with Jesus. There were some that would look and say, this has to be a man sent from God. And then the others would look and say, he's just a false prophet deceiving the people. It's a trick up his sleeve somewhere. And yet seeing the exact same thing, both groups of people. So don't let it shock you when you go to your job and you try to live the best life that you know how and be a light and a witness to people without trying to shove it down their throat. And there's some people that sit there and make fun of you and cuss you to your face and say that you're just a hypocrite and all these things. But yet there might be somebody there on that same job that sees something else that those people don't see. Why? Because God once again is veiling himself in human flesh to prove that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he'll reveal it to whomever he wants to reveal. Jesus could walk right down through the streets of his own city and the majority of the people turn him away and say, just leave the city. We don't even need you. And it said many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief, but yet there were others that held on to it and said, just let me touch the hem of his garments. Amen. You can't save anybody. You can't make anybody see it. But you should live a life to where they can see it. Amen. You want to brag on our church? You want to tell people how good our church is? The best thing that I know for you to do is be a good representative of Jesus Christ out here. And they'll see what it's producing in your life. But when you say, oh, I go to Brother Nathan's church, bless God, get mad and slam your fist down on the table because the waitress brought you the wrong drink, or kick over something, or hang up on somebody because you get upset with them and call them all kinds of nasty names and send angry texts to them and things, it's not being a very good representative. Not just a church of the open door, but of Jesus Christ and this message that we follow. We're supposed to be billboards. Amen. And all of us are. It just depends on what you're advertising. Every one of us, our life is a billboard. Somebody is watching you to see how you act, to see how you respond. And maybe you say, oh, but Brother Nathan, they push my buttons sometimes just to get me upset. Oh, maybe they're just really seeing. Like that woman there. Remember her husband and his friends came in, acted like they really put on they was drunk. She could have got mad and said, well, Lord, that's not fair. They're just pushing my buttons. They're just trying to make me angry and upset. Oh, but she said, must I be carried off to heaven on a flowery bed of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? I wonder how many of us could have really reacted to a situation like that like she did. If you're yielded, you will. If you're yielded, you will. The timer's saying it's time to quit, but I don't feel like it's quite time yet. Gifts and callings are without repentance, 1950. He said, I believe one of the hardest things that God has ever had to do was to get one mortal to believe another. That's right. We won't believe one another, and we are God's agency. Can you imagine how hard it was for Moses to come down there after he'd ran off on the backside of the desert away from Egypt? And here he was, his history, everything that looked at him. They said, oh, he's just a murderer. He's just a runaway. All these things that they had against him. And here he comes back and says, I'm going to set Israel free of bondage. Can you imagine how hard it was for that man to get the people to believe him? But yet he was God's agent. Amen. Sometimes we see so much humanity that we can't see what God is doing behind the humanity. Right. Sometimes we miss a lot of things because of that. Somebody gets up to sing or to preach or to testify. Somebody talks to you out here in the parking lot, and all you can see is the humanity. Oh, I heard this about him, and somebody said this about him, and I remember back 20 years ago when they did this and all that, and you're just looking at the humanity. But many times if we could look a little deeper and see what God is trying to do through that person to help us or encourage us. Listen to this tonight. Let me read you this quote. The Patmos Vision, again, 1960. He said, now where's God to be revealed? In his church, with his people, in us. Where is God to be revealed? In his church, with his people, in us. The same spirit, the same works, the same manifestation, the same love, the same forgiveness, the same long-suffering, gentleness, patience, peace, mercy, all that was in Christ is in the church. The same spirit that was back there. Brother Bram said it this way. We may look at it in a few weeks. He said, Alpha has become Omega. Amen. What he was back there in the first church age, he is still the same. He's just working in a many-membered body. All that Christ was, the same long-suffering that he had, we should be able to display it. The same patience, the same forgiveness, the same meekness, the same love, all those same manifestations. You say, well, Brother Nathan, I can't do signs and wonders. Hey, if we could just start with this, we'd be doing pretty good. Amen. Brother Nathan, I've never raised the dead. Have you ever forgave somebody? That's the Spirit of Christ. Have you ever been long-suffering with somebody, even when you felt like you'd been long-suffering enough? That's the Spirit of Christ. You ever been gentle when somebody wasn't gentle back? That's the Spirit of Christ. You ever been patient when everything in your genetics tells you not to? Show peace and mercy and express the love of Christ to somebody, even in the back of your mind and with all your stereotypes and all your prejudices, whether they're racial or personality or family or color or creed or church or denomination or whatever it is. All of that's telling you, no, don't love that person. But something down on the inside says, that's just your old flesh talking. Oh, my. Where is God to be revealed in this age? In his many-membered body. Amen. How is the world out here going to see him? How are you going to convince somebody to take one of those tapes or books? They're going to have to see something in you first that makes them interested in whatever you would have to hand them. Amen. Why would anybody want to take a Bible or a book or a tape from you if you're talking nasty about somebody out the other side of your mouth or treating the waitress bad or treating somebody in your family bad or whatever it be? Why would they want to have what you've got? But when we can project the same spirit that Christ had, then we become salty. And they say, I want what he's got. I was just showing the kids the other night that we was talking about Jack Coe and Oral Roberts and different ones. And I pulled up a couple videos on YouTube of Jack Coe and Oral Roberts. And I was showing them where Brother Jack Coe, when he got saved and he went home and he said, he began to tell them how happy he was and how he'd been to church and stuff. They said, oh, poor Jack is drunk again. Oh, he was drunk all right, but just not on what they thought he was. And he said, finally, it got to a spot where his mom got so miserable the way he'd act when he came in, so happy and so full of the Spirit. She said, I got to go down there and I got to get what Jack's got. And he said, she got down to the altar there and she began to scream out, oh, God, give me what Jack's got. And he said, before you know it, she got up and she began to say, I got it. I got what Jack's got. Why? Because she saw something real in him. Not because he came home and yelled and screamed at her and said, hey, you're not living right. You need to do this and you need to do that. You're just an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I've got more revelation than you. She saw something real in his life. Yeah. Oh, my. Lamb and the Dove, 1960. Brother Bram says, I pray that somehow it'll catch hold tonight. From right here on this spot, something deep and solid and sound, that every person in here will be a fruit bearer. Not try to manufacture anything or make up anything, but just yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. And may they bear the fruit of faith and peace and joy and gladness, goodness rather, and mercy and temperance and all the good gifts of God. May there come into their churches prophecy, speaking with tongues, interpretations, knowledge, wisdom. He says, grant it, Lord. Amen. You notice how he did it backwards of the way that most of us want to see it. Most of us look and say, Lord, give me a gift. Make me a preacher, Lord. Make me a singer. Make me a musician. Give me a gift. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me tongues. Give me prophecy. Hey, that's wonderful. But notice how he said it first. He said, may they bear the fruit of faith and peace and joy and goodness and mercy and temperance. Oh, yes. Let's get all that first and then go on and get the better, yes, the gifts. Amen. Amen. Paul said, covet the best gifts. Amen. But if we don't have that fruit, what did Brother Bram say? I think we've already looked at the quote, or if not, we'll look at it here pretty soon. I believe we looked at it already, where he said that if those gifts weren't so rooted in love, that it would just become a stuffed shirt and pull itself away from everybody and say, oh, I'm something, look at me. Why? Because they got the gifts before they got the Spirit. The Bible said that gifts and callings are without repentance. Amen. We recognize that. If anybody can testify to that, I can. Amen. I felt the call of God at 3 or 4 years old into the ministry. Gifts and callings are without repentance. Amen. But I thank God that He can come and give us. I thank God for the gifts. I thank God that He's the giver. But some of the best things that He can do in our life is to give us patience, those fruits of the Spirit, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness. Nobody's going to want to listen to your gift until you have those. If you can yield yourself so to the Spirit to where that branch begins to flow into you and move those things out, then they'll sit up and pay attention and say, I want to hear what this guy has to say. I want to hear what this sister's trying to tell me. Why? Because they recognize something real in your life. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Amen. Aren't you thankful God can do that in somebody? Amen. Even in this dark age that there's people. Aren't you thankful that you know people like that? Amen. Aren't you thankful you can look back in your past and see there was somebody like that that God brought across my path, that they were salty enough that got my attention, that I would sit down and listen to what God was trying to tell me, what the Spirit was trying to say in this age. May we be salty. May we live a life, not trying to prove everybody else wrong and straighten everybody else out, but may we live such a life that people would be able to say, give me what Nathan's got. Give me what Trevor's got. Give me what Stephen's got. You read your name in tonight. I'm not going to say everybody's name, but read your name in there. Give me what David's got. Give me what Terry's got. Give me what Luke's got. Why? Because they see something in you. Christ, the hope of glory. And they see it's done something so drastic in your life that they want more of that. Is that your desire tonight? Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Musicians, if you'd come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I recognize tonight I went down some paths I wasn't planning on taking and said some things I wasn't planning on saying, Lord, but I've done my best that I know how to yield to You. So, Lord, I ask and pray that You would use it not to offend somebody or upset somebody or make them mad, but may You use it to make somebody think and to make somebody look back at the Scriptures and really take an honest look at what type of life they should live and how they should act and what they should do, Lord, so that we could be salty, so that we could live a life where others could see. Lord, I want to live a life. I don't want to just get up and read quotes to my children, although I thank You for quotes that I can read them and show them the truth. I don't want to just get up and read them a Scripture and tell them this is what the Scripture says, this is what you should do, although I thank You that we have the Scriptures, Lord, where we can do that. But Lord, I want to live such a yielded life to where they could look and they could see an example of real true Christianity in my life, that they could see Daddy's got the real thing. Oh, I believe that's every one of our desires tonight. Lord, I'm reminded of a walk I took one time as a young man back before I was married. Walking across the bridge with a young lady at the time, she had backslid and got away from the Lord, and I was trying to witness to her and encourage her to come back to God. She stood there and she told me, Lord, she didn't have any doubt that the message was right. She knew for a fact that her daddy had the Holy Ghost and he was a good, godly man. But she just didn't believe that she could live it herself. Lord, I still pray for her often. I believe You can still reach her where she's at. Maybe there's some sitting here tonight that they've seen a real, living Christ living through the lives of others that they've come in contact with. But there's so much humanity of themselves and so much desire of the world or desires of things that are unpleasing to You that the devil has tried to convince them that it's not for them or that they'll never be able to live it. Lord, may they recognize tonight it's for whosoever will. Lord, that they can come tonight and You can change their life. Lord, that You're longing and yearning more than they could ever want it, that You're wanting to come and fill them with the Holy Ghost, that You're wanting to save them, that You're wanting to change their path. Lord, maybe You've gave them chance after chance after chance, and they've ignored it. They've tried to put it off till another time. They've thought, I'll wait till a better time. I'll wait till I get this done in my life. I'll wait till another stage of my life. I'll wait till I've sowed my oats. Oh, Lord, we don't know that we'll step out of here tonight and Lord, you may not come in a rapture to take us, but it may be our own personal rapture. Maybe we'll step in front of a bus, or maybe we'll go in a heart attack or a plane crash or whatever it would be. Maybe the doctor will come in the room and tell us there's no hope for you. Lord, let us not wait till those last fleeting breaths to make sure that everything's okay. Lord, You're giving them another opportunity tonight. Lord, may we yield to you completely. Lord, maybe there'll be somebody that goes back and listens, that this something just pricks their heart of what was said, and they recognize that they're living a selfish life, and they're not portraying the life of Christ the way that they should be to others. They've let their own agendas or their own personality or their own selfishness get in the way of extending the love of Christ to others and living a life where others can see you in their actions. Lord, may you help them tonight. Lord, help each and every one of us. Satan loves to creep in and get us upset and worked up over things, but Lord, help us to stay focused on you with singleness of heart to Christ and singleness of eye to Christ, Lord, that when we look, all we see is you. We don't see all the doctrines and the debates and the differences and the contentions and the arguing and confusion and debating and backbiting back and forth, but when we look, all we see is Jesus Christ. Lord, that we stop digging into everything else that we can, and we just dig into the Word, Lord. We look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I don't have to prove everybody wrong. I don't have to prove how right I am. Lord, all I have to do is tell everybody how right you are. Lord, I know you're right. Even when I'm wrong, you're right. Even when I'm wrong, your Word is right. Lord, I'm not trying to point people to Nathan Bryan. I'm trying to point them to Jesus Christ and the Word that He sent us in this age. Help us, Father. Help us not to have selfish motives. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. We need more of you in our life, Lord Jesus. Lord, I need you more. I need more wisdom. I need more guidance. I need more strength, Lord. Lord, you placed me over this little flock here, Lord, and some of them going through things. Lord, I don't know what to do or what to say, or I don't have a button I can press or a finger I can snap to change it, Lord. But, Lord, I'm depending on you tonight. I'm depending on you. Some of them sick in body, Lord, I can't heal them, but I'm depending on you, Lord. Your Word said you've already done it. Your Word said it's a finished work. Lord, I'm depending on you tonight. I'm resting on your promises. I'm resting in you. I have no ability of my own. I have no talent of my own. I have no wisdom of my own, Lord. I'm depending on you. Lord, as I was sharing with some of the brothers this week, a quote that Brother Arnie had shared with me, how Brother Branham said he didn't have any motives of his own, or didn't have any agenda of his own, didn't have any personal thing that he was trying to push across the people. He had died out so much to you. Oh Lord, sometimes we get so many ideas, so many things that we're going to do and things for us, Lord. But help us to get to that place. Oh, help us to get to that place, Lord, where we have no ambition of our own. Not what we can do, not what we can make for ourselves or do for ourselves, but to where our ambitions are so tied to the Holy Spirit and to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ that our only ambition is to see His will to be done in our life. Oh, what kind of church would we be if we could get to that place, Father? What kind of individuals could we be? What kind of families could we be when our only ambition was to please the Father? When our only ambition was to yield ourselves to a spot to where you could use us? Lord, I recognize we have jobs to do. Lord, the children have schools to attend. We have people to visit and fellowship and things like that that we go through. But Lord, may we be about your business in all of those things. May we be yielded to your Spirit in all of those things, Father. Lord, use us as a witness in the grocery stores, on the jobs, in the schools, wherever we go. Lord, may our ambition be to please you, Father, I pray. Help us, Jesus. We need you tonight. We love you, Jesus. Help each one, I pray, Lord. If there's some that are discouraged tonight, may they go out of here encouraged. May they go out of here knowing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to their lives and encouraging them. And Lord, that this wasn't just the words of a man or the thoughts of a man tonight, Lord, but that you led me down these paths because you care about them and you care what they're going through, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my trials. Oh, he's guiding me constantly. stand and sing it to him tonight. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, oh, he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Oh, he's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Oh, the trials of this world were getting closer, and the pull I felt was more than I could bear. And just when I was on the verge, just giving over, for the strength within myself, it just wasn't there. Oh, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see, oh, he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Oh, he's guiding me constantly. He keeps giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Oh, and then Satan, he laid before me his temptation, for it was his desire to steal away my faith. But thank God I found in time this great revelation. Oh, and it's the strength I need to keep me in his grace. Satan, he'll lay before you his temptation. Oh, you see, it's his desire to steal away your faith. But you'll find that God will come in time with his great revelation. It'll be that strength you need just to keep you in his grace. Oh, and let's sing this together tonight. Amen. I was in the hospital with Dad the other night, and he was in a little bit of pain, and he started to say the words of this song. He said, if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. Or if you feel lost, he's a way maker. Friend, if you need freedom, if you need saving, got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you got pain, if you're lost, he's a way maker. If you're saying, he's a prison shaking singer. Chain breaker. Oh, if you
offering 663 C. I would not be denied. My sister Esther, I was talking to her on Tuesday, and she had told me a testimony when she was here. She had a little problem in her shoulder that would make her nauseate and stuff, and she was here in the service on, I believe it was a Wednesday night, about in October, and she got so sick and nauseated she had to go downstairs and sat down there. And Brother Joel was seeing her sitting there, and I asked, she's like, "Are you okay, sister?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm a little bit sick right now. I'm nauseated." And he said, "You want me to get your brother and pray for you?" And he said, and she said, "Sure." So Brother David Hoover went down, and the two of them went to pray for her. And she didn't tell him what was wrong or anything. But Brother Joel laid his hand exactly on the spot where the pain was coming out. She said, as soon as he laid his hands, they started praying, and instantly the pain left, and she was completely healed of it. You know, I don't even, Brother Joel had no idea the pain was coming from there, running up her neck and making her nauseated. It was something to do with the shoulder located years ago or something like that. Meanwhile, my brother-in-law, he wasn't raising a message, wasn't raising any kind of religion, as far away from him as you can get. And he just came to the Lord recently, and he's still learning, struggling and stuff. And he'd had a car wreck over there, and it kind of messed his life up and lost his vehicle he's using for his work and everything. And he was sitting here in church and just thinking to himself, you know, what if it took that car wreck to get my life turned around so I could totally serve the Lord? And right then, Brother Nathan turned and said, what if it takes a car wreck to get your life turned around? And he gave the testimony at church in England a couple weeks ago. He said, I'm thankful that God had to send me all the way across the world, a pastor in America. God could use a pastor to speak through in America. So I'm thankful he's still moving. Amen. So. Brothers would come on with 663. I think you guys, I just like the title of the song, It Would Not Be Denied. I don't, devil tries to kick us and beat us a little bit, but I believe we're sons and daughters of God, and we're not going to be denied. You know, like Daniel said, Daniel purposed in his heart. He didn't just wait for God to do something. He held on and wouldn't be denied. Amen. So when pangs of death seize the
Satan said, my Lord was gone and would.